talk to us serious. This is a real record. And I think that when you become the world's sole superpower, you're suspended with the world, and that geopolitical action can often work to our benefit. Others who are uncomfortable with our own actions. We don't give this a chance to work to us, and we're carrying the whole world's problems on our backs, and we're getting too weary as a people. But I am heartened, at least to hear, that there's the least amongst rational people that bombing the hell out of everybody that we've got differences with is not the route to peace and the safety of the people both here and around the world. Thank God for small favors, at least. I do want to thank you for listening to the program today. I'd like to thank everybody here at the Head On Radio Network. I hope you'll stay tuned for the Bruce Burt Show and Bob Kincaid after that. You've been listening to the Guy James Show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a good one, folks.
I'm Jody Jordan. President Bush is turning to ceremony after a week of marking the anniversary in speeches. Here's Mark's. With news on the Information Radio Network, I'm Jody Jordan. President Bush is turning to ceremony.
World charges of conspiracy and making false statements. Justice Department officials say that Ney cut a deal to cooperate in authorities' influence peddling investigation involving former lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Officials with the FDA are urging American consumers to toss out any bagged spinach because of a possible link to a 10-statewide outbreak of the E. coli virus. Escalating violence in Iraq, where a total of 5 U.S. troops in and around Baghdad and 1 Marine in the Anbar province have been killed in the past 24 hours. One soldier is still missing. The tortured and bullet-ridden bodies of 30 Iraqis have been discovered in various locations around Baghdad. 130 people have been killed over the last 2 days, either from attacks or tortured and dumped on city streets or in rivers. Spanish troops are arriving in Lebanon today to become part of the UN peacekeeping force there. French troops will arrive this weekend. They'll join forces from India, Italy, and Ghana. Vatican officials say that Pope Benedict is sorry for comments he made earlier this week concerning holy wars, comments some Muslims consider anti-Islamic. The Vatican says the pontiff did not mean his comments to be offensive. In spite of the apology, the Pakistani parliament condemns the Pope. Turkey's Islamic-based ruling party is comparing him to Hitler, accusing him of trying to revive the spirit of the Crusades. The Japanese cult leader convicted of masterminding a nerve gas attack on Tokyo's subway system back in 1995 has lost his last appeal, paving the way for his execution by hanging. This is the Quality News Network, a look at science and business. That's up next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Two members of the Atlantis crew made the third and final spacewalk of the shuttle's mission today, fixing a radiator and performing a science experiment while floating outside the shuttle for more than 6 hours. Atlantis heads back to Earth next Wednesday. A new study indicates a higher incidence of infants' deaths born to women who have elective cesarean sections when there's no medical need to do so. Fossilized web bird footprints believed to be 110 million years old have been discovered in South Korea, the oldest ever found. The fossils are believed to be from the Cretaceous period of the Mesozoic era. Visitors to Google Earth can now view satellite photographs of the effect of human activity on planet Earth. Google has paired up with the UN Environmental Program to provide satellite photographs from around the world. A Google spokesman says the goal of the partnership is to raise environmental awareness. Ford Motor officials say their new restructuring plan includes two more plant shutdowns for a combined total of 14. Ford also plans to eliminate an additional 10,000 salaried jobs. Freddie Mac reports that rate on 30-year mortgages have dipped for the seventh time in the past 8 weeks to 6.43%. Light sweet crude oil at $63.33 a barrel. Wall Street now closed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 33 points. NASDAQ up 7. S&P 500 up 4. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, me pride.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Bruce Birch Radio Program, where we, you know, you might not get smarter, but you'll know a little bit more by the time the show is over with. Today we got a jam-packed schedule. It's going to be pretty neat. We've got Mayor Rocky Anderson, Ross C. Rocky Anderson from Salt Lake City, Utah, will be on later on in the program. We'll also have Sam Simpson, who is a candidate for Congress in Florida's 10th district. She's an independent thinking Democrat. She's a peace candidate, and it should be a really wonderful, program interview with her later on in the program. Now, you know, today's I'm just getting off on the wrong foot. I think it's time you know, it is Friday after all, isn't it? Yes, that's right. That means it's Friday afternoon, and those of you who are heading into the weekend on the East Coast, you just got off work. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Most folks who are listening to the program at this point are probably either at work getting ready to leave or already out of work and at home or a happy weekend. Happy weekend to you. Glad that you're starting your weekend off on the progressive foot, on your left foot, as it were, by listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Now, if you want to get in on the show today, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, if that's how you'd rather get in touch with me, by emailing me at bruce@brucebirch.com. And Birch is with a U, brucebirch.com. I also have a show, a show blog over at BruceBirch.com that I try to put up a show post every day so that you know what's going on the radio program. Our good friend Gene from Oregon also does a post at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. As I said earlier, I've got Rocky Anderson on today, and today's show post is entitled "The Grassroots Are Rising Up," and I fully, absolutely believe that. I talked with Sam earlier today, and I've talked with some representatives of Mayor Anderson, of the Honorable Mayor Rocky Anderson. And, you know, it just seems to me that these two folks really physically and politically embody what is the most important part of change in the political and social arena, and that is the grassroots. Now, when we talk about the grassroots, what are we talking about? In my view, we're talking about people who are making a difference at a local level and who want to see progressive change happen. And so instead of sitting and sending money away to, I don't know, Connecticut or or some other location, they're actually getting out and they're actually making a difference in their own communities. And through making that difference, they're winning converts, if you will. They're winning people over to the cause of progressivism now, or liberalism, whichever you prefer. I prefer to use the term progressivism because, to me, if I'm a progressive, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward ahead, if you will, to some positive change in the future. Now, it's about semantics, I suppose. But actually, you know, we're going to have Rocky Anderson on a little bit later on. And now, following that line of thinking, I want to very quickly play you a clip of George today. Now, George, the stupid guy, you know him, the guy who lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue there in D.C., right up the street, right across the yard there from the Washington Monument. George apparently got a little testy today. He got a little testy today, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to play a clip of George getting a little testy with David Gregory, and it's about 4 minutes long. So we'll play that, and then I'll come back, and we'll talk about it a little bit. But I wanted to get this clip in before we get over to what I look at as the real patriots of America. But here's the stupid guy talking about the whole terror detainee stuff. David Gregory asked him a question here.
I firmly believe the world is better off without Saddam in power, Martha. Dave, he's back.
Sorry, I got to get this
would you
time.
Like me to go to somebody else here to get
no. Sorry.
But take your time, please.
I really apologize for that. Anyway,
I must say, having gone through those gyrations, you're looking beautiful today, Dave.
Mr. President, critics of your proposed bill on interrogation rules say there's another important test. These critics include John McCain, who you've mentioned several times this morning. And that test is this. If a CIA officer, paramilitary, or a special operations soldier from the United States were captured in Iran or North Korea, and they were roughed up, and those governments said, well, they were interrogated in accordance with our interpretation of the Geneva Conventions. And then they were put on trial, and they were convicted based on secret evidence that they were not able to see. How would you react to that as Commander-in-Chief?
David, my reaction is that if the nations, such as those you name, adopted the standards within the Detainee Detention Act, the world would be better. That's my reaction. We're trying to clarify law. We're trying to set high standards, not ambiguous standards. And let me just repeat, Dave. We can debate this issue all we want, but the practical matter is, if our professionals don't have clear standards in the law, the program is not going to go forward.
Opposite world.
You cannot ask a young intelligence officer to violate the law, and they're not going to.
Opposite world.
Let me finish, please. They will not violate the law. So you can ask this question all you want, but the bottom line is, and the American people have got to understand this, that this program won't go forward if there's vague standards applied like those in Article 3 from the Geneva Convention, she's not going to go forward. You can't ask a young professional on the front line of protecting this country to violate law. Now, I know they said they're not going to prosecute them. Think about that, you know. Go ahead and violate it. We won't prosecute you.
You already have.
These people aren't going to do that, Dave. Now, we can justify anything you want and bring up this example or that example. I'm just telling you the bottom line. And that's why this debate is important. And it's a vital debate. Now, perhaps some in Congress don't think the program is important. That's fine. I don't know if they do or don't. I think it's vital. And I have the obligation to make sure that our professionals, who I would ask to go, conduct interrogations to find out what might be happening, or who might be coming to this country, I got to give them the tools they need, and that is clear law.
This is an important point, and I think
the point I just made is the most important point.
Okay.
And that is the program is not going forward. David, you can give a hypothetical about North Korea or any other country. The point is that the program is not going to go forward if our professionals do not have clarity in the law. And the best way to provide clarity in the law is to make sure the Detainee Treatment Act is the crux of the law. That's how we define Common Article 3, and it sets a good standard for the countries that you just talked about. Next man.
Do we up the lithium, please?
I know you think it's an important point.
Sir, with respect, if other countries interpret the Geneva Conventions as they see fit, you're saying that you'd be okay with that.
I am saying that I would hope that they would adopt the same standards we adopt, and that by clarifying Article 3, we make it stronger, we make it clearer, we make it definite. And I will tell you again, David, you can ask every hypothetical you want, but the American people have got to know the facts. And the bottom line is simple. If Congress passes a law that does not clarify the rules, they do not do that, the program's not going forward.
Danger U.S. troops.
Next man.
In your...
David, next man, please. Thank you. Took you a long time to unravel, and it took you a long time to ask your question.
Ooh, Mr. Testy Man. Mr. Testy Man, Georgie. He's a little testy. It took you a long time to unravel, and now it's going to take you a long time to ask your question. Yeah, putz. That's what he wanted to say. George Bush today, that was George Bush from the day at a press gaggle there. I just, you know, it is so opposite world. It's just, we need to clarify the rules. We need to clarify the rules. You know, it is just absolutely sickening. It's absolutely sickening. When we listen to this man talking about clarifying the rules and putting young professionals in the field to follow the law, the bottom line is, folks, that, you know, he hasn't followed the law. He hasn't followed any semblance of law. There's been no law followed in this administration. The only law that they've followed is their own law that they make up as they go along. And you know something? There's an answer for that, too. There's an answer for that, too. And you know what that answer is, ladies and gentlemen? Impeachment! That's right. I'd like to have a slice of impeachment pie this fall following the November election. Now, you know, when we're talking about this whole detainee clarification, we need to clarify. What he's saying is we need to change the law so that it's okay to torture. That's what he's saying. And we're clarifying what we're clarifying, ladies and gentlemen. What we're clarifying is that George Bush wants to change the law so that he can legally torture people. Okay? Is that clear enough? Because if that's clear enough, then, I hope that you get that. It's not about giving people the tools they need. We don't need to torture. There's no need for us to torture. There's no need for us to commit atrocities in the name of freedom and democracy. What there is a need for is to hold to the rule of law that has governed this country for, I don't know, what, 200 and, what's this, 2006, 235 years? 230 years, huh. Bad math. That's why I'm a radio guy. So, you know, let's take a deep breath. Let's take a phone call. Our good friend Gene is on line one. Gene, what's going on, man?
Hey, Bruce. I had a question on the president's speech there. I'm strictly really not up on the subject, but I'm just curious. He kept talking about professionals. Now, as I recall, our army is made up of volunteers, right? Bruce?
Yeah.
So
it is.
When he talks about professionals, is he kind of making a veiled reference to like a mercenary army?
It's quite possible.
Okay.
I wouldn't put it past him, yes.
Okay. Because I wasn't really, because when you think about it, when he says professional, and I'm thinking that he's more concerned for the contractors than he is for the enlisted guy. You'll have to ask Sarge about this, but it smells fishy to me.
He's talking about getting these professionals the tools they need. They speak, Gene, they speak in what I call meme speak. They speak, what's his name? Howard Luntz?
Yeah.
You know, it's the whole idea of framing the message that people hear certain words and react certain ways. And people hear professionals and tools and need, and you know, what are they going to think? Well, we've got to get them what if I were sitting in my office and my boss decided I couldn't have a decent computer? Well, I need the tools that I need to work with. The whole association thing there.
Well,
but the other thing.
Go ahead. Well, I just see this whole thing about this army. See, here's the deal. With Bush, here's how I feel. I think he kind of deliberately wants to break the army. So basically, he's saying, we'll follow the Geneva Convention for the contractors. But the enlisted guy, whatever. I don't know. They'll just have it. It struck me when I heard that. I was like, wait a minute. There's something going on here. So I need clarification.
Using the word professionals, Gene, I think is a new, that's a new meme. It's not, I've not heard that yet before until today. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. He probably means CIA agents. It's probably what he's referring to, either that or assassins for hire. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I was just curious. So, that's about it. I just got home, so.
Glad you're listening, Gene, and I appreciate all that you do for the network. And all the good work that you do, my friend.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for calling in, and I'm gonna have to hit a break here. So it's about 22 minutes past the hour, what we're gonna do here is instead of taking our normal break we just blew through it obviously, but instead of taking our quarter hour break and our bottom of the hour break, we're gonna take a break now. And when we come back, we may have a special guest on the line. Hope you enjoy it. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show a little later, 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
It is with tremendous pride that I introduce to you the Honorable Mayor Ross Rocky Anderson.
Is a person who loves his or her country. Who among you loves your country so much that you have come here today to raise your voice out of deep concern for our nation and our world. And we are here today to insist that those who were elected to be our leaders must tell us the truth. We are here today to insist that our news media live up to its sacred responsibility to ascertain and report the truth. And that he had no other basis for his claim, had our nation's media done its job, rather than slavishly repeating to us the lies being fed to it by the Bush administration, our nation very well may not have allowed the commencement of this outrageous, tragic, illegal, unjustified war.
Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head-On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head-On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
All right. Welcome back to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 30 minutes past the hour here on the Head On Radio Network, being simulcast on radiopower.org. Thank you, Shelby Lepre, for everything that you're doing over there to help push the progressive message forward. Joining me on the line is none other than the Honorable Mayor Ross C. Rocky Anderson. Mayor Anderson, welcome to the Bruce Birch Radio Program.
Well, thank you, Bruce. Real pleasure.
It's my pleasure entirely, and I just got to say, before we get too far into the interview, how inspiring the speech was that you gave in Salt Lake City there when Mr. Bush visited your city, and it just was amazing. And our listeners here, the day after the speech, we played some clips of it here on the Head On Radio Network, and had an incredible response. It's just, it was wonderful speech writing and a fantastic delivery, sir.
Well, thank you. It's obviously, I feel it's very important that every one of us, wherever we are, whatever positions of leadership we might hold, and we all are leaders in our own way, whether in our families, our neighborhoods, our churches, our businesses, we have got to get the truth out. We've got to demand the truth. And I think way, way too much time has gone by without good leadership in this country. And I would include in that, in what should be an opposition party in this country, but which has dismally failed, I think, our nation these last few years.
Well, I would tend to agree with you. One of the analogies that I like to make is that we have a governing party that doesn't know how to govern and an opposition party that doesn't know how to be an opposition party.
we're on the same wavelength there. I will say, in terms of demonstration, I think that it said a lot that here in Salt Lake City we had probably 4,000 or 5,000 people, maybe more, come together, and obviously very passionate about what they see, not only what they see going wrong in this country and the betrayal of our fundamental values by this Bush administration, but a call for a positive agenda. There's a good positive message in all this, too, and that is that we ought to be pursuing peaceful relations, that we ought to be building up alliances with other nations rather than tearing long-term alliances apart, as this administration has so arrogantly done, and that violence should be an absolutely last resort. Instead, this administration chose this war. They did it on very flimsy, and it turned out false evidence, and they have tried to force-feed the public through a very compliant and complacent mainstream media through a conscious propaganda campaign. And there are many, many instances of that, not only in the lead-up to this war, but in the execution of this war. And, I think it's important for us to note that this war really was an invasion and an occupation without any justification, no security risk posed by this country toward the United States. And it's a Muslim country, and this kind of an invasion and occupation is going to simply create more hardship, more hatred, more divisiveness, and for no real good reason other than control of oil resources.
I hail from North Carolina, which is a fairly there are liberal pockets here, but it's a fairly conservative state overall. And I have always envisioned Utah as being fairly conservative as well. Am I totally wrong in assuming that
Utah is extremely conservative? George Bush garnered the largest margin of victory in Utah in both of his elections. As compared with the rest of the country, he has the largest approval, the highest approval rating in the country out of Utah right now. So as a state, I think it's safe to say this is probably the most conservative state in the country.
How were you able to get, not necessarily you, but how, you said there were 3,000 to 5,000 people out there that day for that rally. Were those all folks from Salt Lake City, or was
I think there were some people who came in from For instance, there was a group from Logan, Utah, which is about 90 miles to the north, who rented a bus. About 60 of them came down on a bus. So we saw some folks come from surrounding communities, but I would say just everybody there was from Utah anyway. But I think that, first of all, Salt Lake City is a pretty progressive community, or I wouldn't have been elected not just once but twice as mayor. And there are plenty of people in this community that are knowledgeable enough and concerned enough that they know that it's way past time for us to be raising our voices in opposition to this administration. We did the same thing, by the way, a year ago, August of last year, when President Bush came to speak to the DFW convention, and we had a large demonstration, and I also spoke at that demonstration.
I think, you know, I just, excuse me, I just wanted to say, though, that I think the ideas and the speech itself just struck such a chord, I think, nationwide. Have you had much of a response from across the country as a result
tremendous.
Of the speech?
Not only across the country, across the world. It's amazing to me the power of good independent radio, of the blogs. We're getting emails. We're getting, I don't know if you've looked at the blogs, but dozens and dozens of blogs have either the text of the speech or the video or even the audio. And now I think the piece that you all did with the Black Crowes music is getting around on the blogs as well. I don't know how many hits you all are getting, but it's
I'll have to ask
a lot of
webmaster.
Really good things from people about it.
Well, you know, I think it's just you did a great job, man. It was fantastic, amazing speech. But I think what it did was sort of, at least for me, I can't speak for anyone else, but it opened my eyes to the idea that there are folks out there who are serving in the political arena who do have the right thinking going on. You know, and are willing to stand up and say what needs to be said. As you said before, we've got to tell truth. And if we don't do that, then, you know, we're dishonoring everyone who's ever come before us to help build this democracy.
Absolutely. And I think those in elective office who aren't standing up, we all have the responsibility to call them on it. Let them know that that's not the kind of leadership we need in this country. We need people who are willing to stand up and call for the truth and tell the truth and also provide a vision of a much better way in this country.
I totally agree. I'm speaking with Mayor Rocky Anderson of Salt Lake City, Utah. And Mayor Anderson, before we go too much further, I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of the city initiatives that you've done there. I know that you had done a fairly progressive green initiative, isn't that correct?
Oh, yeah, it's been just one of the most rewarding things I've experienced as mayor. We have the what we call Salt Lake City Green Program, and you can get an idea of what this entails on slcgreen.com. And is it com or org? Com. And sorry, I had to check there. We actually have focused on just about every area of the environment, but our special pride is in our climate protection program, where we've really focused on reducing global warming pollutants in every way possible, converting our fleet over to clean cars, encouraging others in the community, even through like providing free metered parking for clean cars, an expanded recycling program, capture of methane at our wastewater treatment plant and at our landfill, and utilizing the methane to produce electricity. So that's even less that we need to be obtaining from coal-burning power plants. We're the state's largest purchaser of wind power. There are all these things that in total have already in 3 years from 2002 to 2005 helped us surpass the Kyoto Accord goal of the 7% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions from 1990 by the year 2012. So we didn't have to go till 2012. Last year, 7 years ahead of time, we already met the Kyoto goal, and now we're moving forward into a second stage. I think the Kyoto goal is a very modest one. It's an important process, of course, but we need to reduce greenhouse gas emissions easily by 70 or 80% by mid-century. And we're going to continue on in our city operations and in our public policy decisions in every way possible to be able to tell the successful story that then can be replicated by communities nationwide and even worldwide.
That's fantastic. Now, have you seen, has it been measurable as far as, yes, you said that you've met the Kyoto Accords. Has there been less ozone days, et cetera, there in Salt Lake City as a result? Or, has there been a direct impact on the health of people there?
Well, as you reduce greenhouse gas emissions, oftentimes you're also reducing the criteria pollutants that create air quality problems. And so, for instance, we have 89 natural gas, compressed natural gas vehicles in our fleet, and my personal car is a natural gas, compressed natural gas Honda Civic, and there are virtually no criteria pollutants, the sulfur dioxide, the NOx, the kinds of pollutants that cause local air quality problems. So it's a huge contributor toward reducing those pollutants, and it also sets a really great example. And as people in the community find that we're doing those sorts of things, then they learn that they too, in their businesses and in their individual lives, they can adopt some of the same practices. So we've taken a lot of what we've been able to accomplish to the business community in what we call the E2 business program, E2 standing for economically and environmentally sustainable, and we show them what they can do in their businesses to reach the same types of results. We've got some 50 local businesses now participating in that. And then we went one step further with an E2 Citizens program showing individuals how in their everyday lives they can reduce their carbon footprint. And we have over 500 citizens already signed up in that program. You can see all of this on the slcgreen.com website.
That's fantastic, because I think part of in my view, part of the problem is that people always they don't think about what they can do individually to help make an impact.
Oh, everybody can make such an enormous difference collectively, and in doing that, it also helps create an individual and community ethic around it all. And when we as individuals take those steps, it helps reinforce the message that, of course, we expect the same from our local officials. And I would just say to anybody, if your community is not utilizing compact fluorescent bulbs instead of incandescent bulbs, demand that your elected officials do it. If your traffic lights aren't high-efficiency LED lights, make sure that your elected officials take those steps. If they have, they're driving around in SUVs, tell them you absolutely disapprove of that, and they're at political risk if they don't get rid of those SUVs and drive fuel-efficient cars, or even better yet, alternative fuel vehicles.
Well, this is fantastic, and you're absolutely right. And it's great to hear a chief executive of a city speak these words. Because there's many of us who have been fighting for these very things for years and have not made much headway.
Yeah, well, it is a long, hard fight, but I'll tell you, I think we really are at an important turning point. People are finally getting it, especially about global warming. There are, I believe, 200, as of yesterday, 201 mayors across the country that have signed a climate protection pledge to do a lot of the same kinds of things we've been doing here, and to at least meet the Kyoto Accord goals of those reductions by 2012. And once you start doing that and you see that it can be done and that you can save money in the process, then there's such good buy-in in those programs generally that it helps create momentum to do even more into the future. And then we all hope that it's not going to be dependent on who's in office at any one point of time, because the community expects and demands that those programs continue on into the future.
Part of the normal everyday living, rather than something we have to, you know, that top down kind of thing.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I think there are a lot of people who think that we've got to wait for some technological silver bullet to come along to help us meet the challenges that are facing us in terms of global warming, local air quality problems, all the rest, independence from foreign oil, getting away from wildly fluctuating gas prices, the horrible imbalance in trade that our country's experiencing. The solution to all of these challenges are twofold, and they're the same. Better efficiencies, better conservation, don't use as much when we can get away from it. And secondly, when we do need energy, when we do need fuel, utilize clean, renewable sources. And we wouldn't be fighting this war right now if we weren't so dependent on foreign oil. There's no question about it. We wouldn't be experiencing a lot of the problems we are with our deficit and our balance of trade problems if we had the leadership in this country that could move us away from a carbon economy. And other nations are doing it, businesses are doing it with great, great success. And while we see these successes, one just has to lament that we don't have better leadership, and we see our country falling further and further behind.
We've been hijacked by a bunch of oil barons, you know.
Well, you know what? I think it does come down to that. We know whose interests this Bush administration is protecting. It's defense contractors. It's the oil companies. I mean, it's so obvious, but it seems like the American public, by and large, is asleep, and they don't realize that we're just being treated like a bunch of blind sheep. Well, all these war profiteers and oil profiteers are making their billions of dollars, and our country is headed off into disaster. And it's going to take a long time to pick ourselves up from what's become a really disastrous situation, especially with the deterioration of long-term alliances with other nations that we really look to for help and for alliances.
Now, I wanted to also, I noticed on your website that you actually spoke at one of the immigration rallies that happened earlier this year. Tell me, I'd like to hear your take on immigration reform, on what you think would be a realistic way to deal with the influx of folks from south of the border.
Well, let me just preface it by saying I think that we need laws that match our practices, and that we need to enforce the laws that we have, but you don't change the rules in the middle of the game. And we've had one set of rules on the books, and yet our practice as a government and with our corporate community has been basically to give the wink and the nod and to say, it's really okay to come into this country. Yeah, we'll make token efforts to enforce our immigration laws, but we're not going to do general workplace enforcement. We're not going to go into the hotels. We're not going to go into the fast food establishments and really enforce the laws. So as a result of that, we've essentially enticed between 12 and 14 million people into this country, many of them young people who have either been born here or raised here in school. A lot of families really put their roots down, buying houses, paying off their mortgages, and I think that we just have to recognize that the unfairness of saying all of a sudden, okay, we're not going to recognize the fact that we actually have condoned you being here, we attracted you to be here, and now we're going to turn your lives upside down and do mass deportations and treat you all as felons. I think that is not only absolutely inhumane, but incredibly hypocritical given our past practices. It would also be pretty devastating to different segments of our economy. But I do think that what we need to do, and have it all happen at one time on the same date, is say, okay, from this date forward, we are going to enforce the laws. We're going to secure our borders. We're going to make sure that we know who's coming across. If we have a work permit program, we're going to know everybody who comes in. And if you haven't been screened and you didn't get a permit to be in this country, then you're not going to come here, and we're really going to enforce the laws. As to those who are already here, I think that we need to stage it in over time, recognize that we did condone, we did essentially entice these people to come here and work here. And those who have complied with our laws, those who have been otherwise law-abiding, and I'm talking about other than the immigration laws, of course, but those who have essentially led law-abiding, productive lives in our community, working hard, raising good families, then there ought to be a permit system that then moves toward full citizenship. And but not, I'm very opposed to just granting an immunity like has been done in the past and say, okay, in the future we intend to enforce the laws and see the same thing happen again, because we've already had that experience in this country.
Let me ask you this, Mayor Anderson. Do you think that there is any connection between, the Bush administration and, his corporate pals in sort of helping to usher this huge influx of workers in to drive the cost of labor down?
I don't think it's just President Bush. It happened way before him. In fact, he wanted a workers' permit program even when he was governor of Texas. I think that was to help out his corporate buddies, because it does not only provide people who will work these jobs, but it drives wages down for everybody. And it turns out to be a really good thing economically for those who are able to pay those lower wages in these segments of our economy. So I just think that as a nation, we need to take a very long-term approach, recognize that for those who are here now, we've got to do the right thing by them, and this House immigration proposal was about as heartless and unconscionable and unrealistic, and I think really more politically motivated than anything, with elections coming up, and it doesn't reflect very well on our country when we are willing to resort to that kind of heartless legislation that would be so deleterious to so much of our nation, and I think our traditions.
I wanted to ask you now, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I read on your website that you were not seeking re-election to mayor again.
Yes, I'm not going to run for re-election. I'll have served 2 4-year terms, and I hope to pursue some other things in the areas of human rights and global warming after I'm mayor.
Would you care to share with us any of those plans?
Well, yeah. I don't have anything. I don't know what form it's going to take exactly, but I'm very committed to doing, I hope nationally, grassroots advocacy and organizing in the areas of human rights and global warming. I think that, we all love the slogan, never again, in connection to the Holocaust. And what has been the history of this country since the Holocaust? We've allowed genocides to happen over and over and over again. And we do nothing, as we've done nothing these last 4 years with regard to the genocide in the Darfur region of Sudan, as we did nothing with 800,000 people being butchered in Rwanda, as we did nothing for over 2.5 years during the genocide in Bosnia, Cambodia, the list goes on and on. Sexual slavery of over a million women a year forced into sexual slavery. We could have a tremendous impact in all these areas, as we could have a tremendous impact on global warming, which I think is going to be one of the major, if not the major, human rights issues of our time. But our elected officials are not the ones providing leadership. I think leadership really is going to have to come from the grassroots and by people putting on the political pressure to make it impossible any longer for our elected officials to look the other way and not do the right thing. And that's what I hope to be working on, either in a new organization or with an existing organization that's willing to branch out into this area of doing really effective grassroots organizing and advocacy.
Well, when you get started, give me a call. Let me know.
Okay, we'll do it.
And you know, because
you
I really
get out the word. You know, I think what you all do is such an important part of our democracy, and we have so many instruments of the media that have just been part of the problem rather than part of the solution. And if anything, the biggest problem we face in this country is an ill-informed electorate that I think has been fooled not only by this administration but by much of the mainstream media. And if it hadn't been that way, I don't think we'd be involved in this invasion and occupation of Iraq right now.
Can't help but agree with you. I've been two people now who were connected with my radio program have asked me this question. The first question is, would you consider running for president? And the second question was, can we draft you?
Well, if I thought there was a draft with a lot of money behind it, because these races are expensive, and that's one of the biggest problems with our democracy as well, is we have the moneyed interests in this country that gain so much from policies that are bad for the rest of the country. They end up controlling way too much of our electoral politics, and I'd like to see that change. I think with more independent radio, with the blogs, with other ways to communicate, we certainly saw Howard Dean take great advantage of that during his candidacy. And sure, if I thought that were possible, I'd probably take a shot at it.
Well, you know, okay, I got to get you to promise to announce on this radio program.
Well, we'll see about that down the road. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to have to run now. I've got some folks waiting for me out here, but it's really kind of you. And once again, to the gentleman who put that Black Crowes piece together, that was really powerful, and I'm hearing a lot of good things about it.
And well, he heard you. He's listening right now, and he gives a big thumbs up. And Mayor Anderson, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And I certainly hope, wish you all the best in all of your future endeavors.
Okay,
and
don't forget, we'll get back together soon. Love to talk to you again.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was Mayor Rocky Anderson of Salt Lake City, Utah, the man who, when George Bush came to town, instead of greeting the president, he decided to greet him in the great American spirited way of expressing dissent. What a wonderful, wonderful interview. What a wonderful, wonderful mayor. I wish we all had mayors like Mayor Anderson. Wonderful stuff. This is the Bruce Birch radio program being simulcast on the Head On Radio Network and also on radiopower.org. If you want to get in on the show today, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. Email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'm going to take a break for the news, and when we come back, we'll grab your phone calls. This is the Head On Radio Network.
My girl.
This is the Quality News Network. Speaking from the White House Rose Garden today, President Bush turned on the pressure for Congress to pass his legislation concerning U.S. standards for interrogation and treatment of terror suspects. Mr. Bush warned that, quote, time is running out and that, quote, the enemy wants to attack us again. Critics of the White House bill include former Secretary of State Colin Powell. The Senate Armed Services Committee voted yesterday to back an alternative bill by Republican Senator John McCain, which would protect the rights of those suspected of terrorism. Republican Representative Bob Ney of Ohio has entered a guilty plea to federal charges of conspiracy and making false statements. Justice Department officials say that Ney cut a deal to cooperate in authorities' influence peddling investigation involving former lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Officials with the FDA are urging American consumers to toss out any bagged spinach because of a possible link to a 10-statewide outbreak of the E. coli virus. Escalating violence in Iraq, where a total of 5 U.S. troops in and around Baghdad and 1 Marine in the Anbar province have been killed in the past 24 hours. One soldier is still missing. The tortured and bullet-ridden bodies of 30 Iraqis have been discovered in various locations around Baghdad. 130 people have been killed over the last 2 days, either from attacks or tortured and dumped on city streets or in rivers. Spanish troops are arriving in Lebanon today to become part of the UN peacekeeping force there. French troops will arrive this weekend. They'll join forces from India, Italy, and Ghana. Vatican officials say that Pope Benedict is sorry for comments he made earlier this week concerning holy wars, comments some Muslims consider anti-Islamic. The Vatican says the pontiff did not mean his comments to be offensive. In spite of the apology, the Pakistani parliament condemns the pope. Turkey's Islamic-based ruling party is comparing him to Hitler, accusing him of trying to revive the spirit of the Crusades. The Japanese cult leader convicted of masterminding a nerve gas attack on Tokyo's subway system back in 1995 has lost his last appeal, paving the way for his execution by hanging. This is the Quality News Network, a look at science and business. That's up next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Two members of the Atlantis crew made the third and final spacewalk of the shuttle's mission today, fixing a radiator and performing a science experiment while floating outside the shuttle for more than 6 hours. Atlantis heads back to Earth next Wednesday. A new study indicates a higher incidence of infants' deaths born to women who have elective cesarean sections when there's no medical need to do so. Fossilized webbed bird footprints believed to be 110 million years old have been discovered in South Korea, the oldest ever found. The fossils are believed to be from the Cretaceous period of the Mesozoic era. Visitors to Google Earth can now view satellite photographs of the effect of human activity on planet Earth. Google has paired up with the UN Environmental Program to provide satellite photographs from around the world. A Google spokesman says the goal of the partnership is to raise environmental awareness. Ford Motor officials say their new restructuring plan includes 2 more plant shutdowns for a combined total of 14. Ford also plans to eliminate an additional 10,000 salaried jobs. Freddie Mac reports that rate on 30-year mortgages have dipped for the 7th time in the past 8 weeks to 6.43%. Light sweet crude oil at $63.33 a barrel. Wall Street now closed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 33 points. NASDAQ up 7. S&P 500 up 4. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm
It's time for another hour of Conversation Radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce Birch.
That's right, it's the Bruce Birch Radio Program, where you may not get smarter, but you'll know more. Man, what an amazing interview. I'm still like, woo! That was great. That was great. Rocky Anderson is a politician cut from the kind of cloth that we need to see in our country. We need to see politicians who are willing to stand up and tell the truth. We need to have folks who are our leaders who understand what leading is supposed to be about. And I heard that. I heard that in Mayor Anderson's interview. I heard it in his speech that he gave on August the 30th. I heard it in the words that he was saying. And in essence, what he's saying is that you are a leader. Every one of you who are listening to this radio program is a leader in your own right. And, you know, that's the bottom line, folks. That's exactly what it's all about. It's not about us finding some savior. Although, you know, if you're religious and that's your thing, then that's cool too. My point is that it's not about waiting for someone to come and tell us what the next right thing to do is. It's about us understanding that we know inherently what the next best right thing to do, or left thing, to do is, and then doing it. In Salt Lake City, Utah, has created a community that beat the Kyoto Accords by 7 years. They had met the standard 7 years prior to the deadline. If they can do it in Salt Lake City, they can do it in Milwaukee. They can do it in Greensboro, North Carolina. They can do it in Washington, D.C. Fantastic interview. Fantastic interview. I want to move along. I've got coming up a little bit later in the program, I will have Sam Simpson on, and Sam is known as, according to her campaign manager, if you're listening, I don't want to, you know, say anything slighting you, but according to her campaign manager, she's the grassroots granny. Today we are definitely getting into the grassroots. We're getting into what it means to make progressive change in America. It's not all about electing Democrats. It's about electing people who are going to be responsive to you. You know, it's about electing people that are going to be responsive to you. They're going to try to do what needs to be done. Now, I've got some folks in the chat room reacting to what I'm saying, and one of our friends, Big Guy AZ, says, "Bruce, I'm not a leader. I'm not even a lover." Well, okay. I don't know if I'd say that out loud. Lottie, who is one of our mods, says, "But they will ban it in Boston," and I guess he's referring to the Kyoto Accords. I have no doubt that is absolutely probably true. Again, thank you for joining me. We are, this is the Bruce Birch radio program here on the Head On Radio Network. We're being simulcast on radiopower.org. I've got a couple other items I wanted to cover very quickly with you, and one of those is that, if you knew about what was going on with Greg Palast, apparently he has been cleared, by the Department of Homeland Security. He apparently, now I've watched the video, and apparently I mentioned this earlier in the week, I think it was earlier in this week, perhaps Monday or Tuesday, that he had been questioned by the Department of Homeland Security for videotaping a supposedly secure Exxon facility. And this is the first time that I'd heard that a private corporation was afforded the same kinds of secrecy as Guantanamo Bay, but apparently that did happen, and he was questioned by the Department of Homeland Security and then was apparently cleared and is good to go. So go to Greg Palast, Greg Palast, GregPalast.com, if you want to check that out, and read the entire story surrounding that. As I mentioned earlier today, the stupid guy George W. Had a bit of a testy moment this morning or today with David Gregory, and in actuality, I was thinking about this a little bit during the interview, and it just amazes me the difference between a leader such as Rocky Anderson and a leader such as George W. Bush. A leader such as Rocky Anderson would answer the question, at least. George W. Bush didn't even attempt to answer David Gregory's question this morning. Instead, he saw it as a prime opportunity to spout, to catapult more propaganda. And in actuality, it is what it is. But in actuality, he doesn't even answer questions when he goes out there in front of the American people and claims that he has all these answers about everything. He doesn't even bother to answer questions. What he does is he speaks from a script. He does what the voices tell him to do. And as a result, what do we have? We have a presidency that's run by proxy, don't we? We have a presidency that's run by proxy.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Third time I've said that. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
You hear that? People are clapping. They think that's funny. But that's what he sees his job as. He doesn't see it as leading the country. He sees it as catapulting the propaganda. Let's go over to the phone lines. If you want to get in on the show today, it's 1-877-443-2366, or email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. We got Sarge from Southern Mississippi on line one. Sarge, how you doing today, my friend?
Doing fine, and I want to make an announcement here, Bruce.
Please
do. Powers and Morrison have declared next week to be our Grow the Horn Week. We are going to dedicate the whole week to trying to get out the word on horn, to get people to call their local stations where they think that they will pick up the horn network on their terrestrial stations, to have interviews with all of you guys and do everything we can to try and get people listening to the horn and make it more popular than that other station, whatever it was.
The station that shall not be named.
There you go. But we at Powers and Morrison feel like horn is a very, very vital and important tool to our cause. We also feel that horn will continue to keep the main purpose of all of it, to try and save our country from this fascist regime and to try and set us back on a course that makes sense.
Well, we really appreciate it, Sarge. I mean, you guys over at Powers and Morrison really have a really vibrant community over there, and the fact that you guys are behind us and to the degree that you are is very flattering. And and quite honestly, we're behind you guys 100% too, in every way, shape, and form. The partnership, that's just it, is that, there seems to be, and Sarge, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there seems to be two different factions in the United States with regard to online presence, be it blogs or internet radio or whatever. And there seems to be the people, which is, folks like Head On Radio Network and WD40.com and powersandmorrison.com. And then there's those other folks that seem to, they're very provincial and they tend to eat their own, I'm not going to name any websites, Daily Coast, or any other radio network there in America.
Yeah, I won't name calls or Coase or Coos or whatever. Just, but anyway, we definitely feel that Horn is the right way and to do liberal talk radio. We liberals are not controlled by any faction, well, not by corporations or political action groups. We're independent thinkers. We believe that you got to make up your own mind and follow your own beliefs. We're not trying to force anybody to accept something that isn't, you know, acceptable to them personally. Whereas the right wing, oh, they don't want you thinking independently. That's wrong. But we definitely wanted you guys to know that we support y'all, and this week we're going to be doing interviews with you. And I got you, man. I got to interview you.
Oh, cool. Well, that'll be fun.
So, but we still are going to have our chats during what was the old Malloy Hour. But we're telling everybody to tune into Horn for that time, starting next week, when they come in our chats. And we're just going to support you guys. So.
Well,
by the way, Ray was in the chat earlier, and he was asking about you.
Okay. Ray?
Dre, I'm sorry, Dre.
Dre, okay, yeah.
But, by the way, one of your, Gene said something about the military. On the torture thing, let me say this. Torture does not work for you. It works against you. Every time that you torture one person, you get your troops tortured as well. You cannot do anything with torture that does not come back negatively on you. It's a stupid idea. Only an imbecile would think of such a thing. And the ones who have thought of it, who Gonzalez, Bush, and all those crooks, all they're doing is just putting us in more harm. They're making us more enemies. It is just a damn stupid thing.
You're absolutely right. I can't help but say, you know, everything that I've ever read, you know, basically says that any kind of coerced testimony in any situation always turns out to be false. People will tell you what they want. You know, not only will they tell you what they think you want them to say, but you know, it goes into the very basic tenets of psychology. That, you know, it's about the removal of pain. You know, it's called a negative reinforcement.
Right.
You know, so, it's absolutely hogwash. And I think, I got to tell you, I have a lot more respect for the military. I don't think the military, even if there were legally sanctioned torture under this president, I think the military would see that as an affront. And I dare say that there would be many members that would revolt
some bad leaders in the military right now, because these goons have promoted some of the worst people that they could into top military positions just to further their agenda. But there are some good leaders in there. They're just oppressed, and that's something that really has to be addressed. We've got to get these good leaders back in power instead of these scumballs that want to go along with Bush. It's like my friend, Mr. Yoakum in Germany. He was an SS officer, and he was captured by the Americans. And Hitler had told them, when the Americans get you, they're going to torture you, and they're going to abuse you, and they're going to just be real, real bad on you. And he was captured, sent to California, and he was treated humanely. He was treated decently. And within a matter of a few weeks, he was telling everything he knew, because he said, I saw we were wrong. Hitler was wrong. And because I expected torture and instead I got decent treatment, I saw it. If they had tortured me, I would have lied my butt off. So there is someone that knows firsthand.
Well, Sarge, I really appreciate your call. I've got somebody lined up behind you. But,
okay,
you know,
talk to you later.
So wait, before you go, how can people find out about the Horn promotion that you guys are doing?
They can go to my column at powersandmorrison.com, the old Sarge. I've written it up, and all of our columnists are going to be having stuff on the Horn next week.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you so much for your support,
okay,
Sarge.
Bye-bye.
And all of your compadres over there. And that was our good friend Sarge from Southern Mississippi. He is a powerful supporter of everything that we do, and I really appreciate all the efforts that he puts into it. Let's go ahead straight over to line two, and our good friend Jim is joining us this afternoon. Jim, good afternoon to you.
Hey, good afternoon. You tell Sarge I said hooah.
I certainly will.
Sounds like you guys are going by leaps and grounds there. I'm glad to see it.
We are, and it is a good thing, Jim. I think it's...
Hey, listen, I know you got people who want to talk, but I just want to say this. I think David Gregory is not real popular with the people who have to deal with him, because he was really giving Tony Snow some rough times this morning over this same thing. I don't know if you saw Imus this morning, but Gregory really has a way of just sitting there very calmly and politely, just sticking needles in these guys or like, splitting nerves with them.
Well, I'm glad he's doing it. I think it's fantastic.
Well, I do too. I mean, Snow was up there and, you know, I thought he was going to start crying.
Oh, Tony.
Well, I know. And then Bush this afternoon, he sounded like he was just about to become unglued. I mean,
really,
there's only one word to describe that man and all his people, and that's crazy.
Yep, crazy.
That's
You know, I played that, I don't know if you were listening, but I played that clip at the top of the hour.
I heard it.
And, yeah, I mean, it's just, the longer he talked, the angrier he got, I thought he was going to, you know, break out and start calling people, you know, cuss word names and stuff. I mean, it was pretty bad.
Well, I'm sure they probably had a shot or pills, something waiting for him or whatever, because I'm pretty sure he would have to be very medicated to endure what he's having to endure. And, you know, I just don't think that his strategy is going to work any longer. I don't think he's going to have any October surprise or anything like that. And if the type of movie that we saw earlier this week is an indication of basically what they've got, and unless it's just something that's just so unfathomable, but nobody will believe it anyway, I'm pretty sure that they are really on the ropes.
Well, it certainly seems to be thus, and
I hope,
you know,
so.
I know that when Darth Cheney came out last Sunday and made some statements about the entire, you know, the Iraq and Saddam and Al-Qaeda, you know, lack of connection, which he tried to, again, assert.
Well, you know, it's just like in that movie, A Few Good Men, when Jack Nicholson was being badgered by Tom Cruise, and he said, you rightly did? That's exactly what Cheney did. He just blew it. He said, yeah, I did it. I'd do it again.
But the American people, Jim, I believe very strongly now that stuff is just, they have been so much, so inundated with it all that they're sick of it. They're sick of being told to be scared. They're sick of being told that there's terrorists in their neighborhoods, like the Attorney General said a few weeks ago. I mean, you know, the American people, I believe, are saying, okay, wait a minute. You know, this worked in 2001, and then it worked again in 2002 for the midterm elections. And you know what? Okay, so it worked again in 2004. But you know what? It's not going to work anymore.
I don't think so. You know, there's a new designer on the books. There's a new designer in town, and nobody's wearing these people this year. They're out of fashion. That's the way I look at it. You know?
They're yesterday's news.
And there's going to be a new cut from a new bolt of cloth, I certainly hope. And I just, you know, like I've got my eyes, legs, and everything crossed I possibly can in hopes that we can at least retake the House and then possibly get, like, people like Harold Ford elected from Tennessee. He would be another Barack Obama and some of these other guys that would gradually, you know, take the Senate back.
Well, so we'll you know, it. Well, and I, you know, I think it's also very interesting, Jim, Al Maliki and Ahmadinejad met this week, and, you know, as a matter of fact, I covered it, I think it was either yesterday or the day before, anyway, that they met and are actually creating an alliance you know, of sorts, you know, and I think that that is a direct result of George Bush basically calling over there and saying to him, listen.
No, he's forcing them into one another's arms. I mean, we had this conversation earlier. I mean, you know, sometimes and they're two pariah nations, and the only place they had to go is really with each other. And so I'm sure that when Iraq may, if it does blow apart, that Iran will probably move in and nature abhorring a vacuum. It will absorb those parts of Iraq and you know, and the rest will be history, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm no geopolitician, but I think I do understand power politics from what I've studied in the past, and it looks like that's the way it's going. I may be wrong, but I've been wrong before, but I might not be this time, but we'll see. But listen, you have a good weekend, and, you know, and to all you internet radio ninjas, if you say, what do you say? Hata!
Hiya!
Hiya! Okay.
Hiya! Thank you so much, Jim, for your call, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
You too, buddy. Bye.
I know. That was our good friend Jim from an undisclosed location somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere. Wanted to get one more story into your cranial capacity before we go to our break and come back with an interview with a congressional candidate down in Florida, Sam Simpson. Apparently, now this guy is one of the most conservative guys that's out there. This is Fred Barnes, Weekly Standard editor Fred Barnes. Apparently appeared on Fox News, faux news, this morning to discuss his recent meeting with President Bush in the Oval Office. Apparently the key takeaway for Barnes was that, quote, from Bush, quote, Bin Laden doesn't fit with the administration's strategy for combating terrorism, end quote. Barnes said that Bush told him that capturing Bin Laden is, quote, not a top priority use of American resources. The stupid guy. I'm telling you, that's who it is. It's the stupid guy. That's right, the stupid guy. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network being simulcast on radiopower.org. If you want to get in on the show, maybe a little bit later, the telephone number is 1-877-443-2366. So I'm going to take a break. When I come back, we'll have Sam Simpson on from Florida. This is Bruce Birch. I'll be right back.
Did you hear him talking about it on the radio? Did you try to read the writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If
you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 33 minutes before the top of the hour. The scheduled interview hasn't arrived yet, so we'll just go forward with some other things. If you want to get in on the show today, you know the number, 1-877-443-2366. Here's a weird story. And maybe our friend Lottie from the chat room, if you've not been to our chat room, you've been hearing me talk about it some today. If you've not been to our chat room, you really need to go check it out. You can go to headonradionetwork.com, and there's a little link there on the left-hand side of the page. It'll get you to our chat room. There's a bunch of folks hanging out in there having a good time. It's really a cool little community. I really do encourage you strongly to go check it out if you haven't yet. To do that. Now, here's a weird little story. Yeah, this is not political, but it's a weird little story, and it piqued my interest. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's because I like weird things. This is out of Boston, Massachusetts. A man walking his poodle near the public garden detects his dog acting strangely and looks down to discover it has snatched up a rat in its jaws. Down the block, a couple on an evening stroll among the shops and sidewalk bistros on Newbury Street encounter several of the gray rodents congregating under a bush. Michael Ross, the district city councilor, visits a friend in the back bay and looks out his living room window. He said, with a small tremor of disgust, quote, "I saw seven rats the size of small children." That's pretty big, folks. That's pretty damn big. Apparently, in recent weeks, residents of the Back Bay say the neighborhood has been besieged with unusually large rats, probably stirred up by sewer work that began last month in the area. Excuse me. Ross and a Back Bay Neighborhood Association say complaints made to their offices have surged. People report spotting the animals in homes, gardens, trash, and on fire escapes. The question that I would like to pose to the rats is, something on fire? What's going on? Peter Sharon, chairman of the Neighborhood Association of the Back Bay, said, if you go out and walk your dog, you might pass one flying by your front lawn. So not only that, they're flying. Not only that, but they're flying. Oh, my God. He goes on and says, if you park your car, you might see one scurry from under the car in front of you. They're just out more. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, only in Boston, right? Only in Boston. All right, let's go straight over to, you know, before we go over to our interview, I just wanted to, you know, maybe our good friend Lottie from Massachusetts, who is a good friend of the show, will call us up and let us know exactly what's going on there. Okay? It's kind of strange. All right, before we, now, if you're interested in this candidate, let me go ahead and give you the website address that you can find out more about Ms. Simpson. It's samsimpsonforcongress.com, and Sam is spelt with two M's. It's S-A-M-M, Simpson, for Congress. .com. Joining me on the line now is Sam Simpson, who is the candidate he's an independent thinking Democrat for the U.S. Congress in the 10th District of Florida. Sam, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much. I so appreciate being invited to be on the show. Thank you.
I'm very, very happy to have you with us. And today we've been talking a lot about grassroots activism. And I, you know, above anything else, I would think that your campaign fully embodies grassroots activism. Tell me how you guys were able to get on the ballot.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think it's very important for people to understand that I have never run for public office. So when you talk about grassroots, you have to talk about me being a part of that grassroots effort as well. Last January, I watched the State of the Union speech. And for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, you know, we've been watching our country go in a bad direction. A lot of lies, a lot of greed, a lot of manipulation. I decided I was going to run for Congress after I watched the president on the State of the Union. And I thought, well, you know, I'll just run for Congress. I mean, something came over me. I had to do something to help save my country. And the first thought was I'll just run, and be on a write-in candidate. And my friend said, well, you know, you don't want to be a write-in candidate. You're going to have to get on the ballot. So I said, well, okay, how do you get on the ballot? And I found out, Bruce, there were two ways to get on the ballot. Number one, you pay $9,726, or you get 4,088 signatures. Now, the thought of $9,726 to put one's name on the ballot, thereby qualifying one to be a candidate, sort of turns my stomach, because to me, that was the entire part of the root of the problem with the modus operandi of what's happening in Washington, D.C. You got money, you buy law. So, nixed that. No way. What's the alternative? 4,088 signatures. So I said, that's how we're going to do it. So I met a couple of friends and met some new folks, and I probably gathered 500 or 600. We had a man who was 77 years old who had throat cancer, who would put a chair on a bike and go around to libraries on a bus. He collected 500 or 600. We had a couple of homeless folks collect a few hundred. And then we had about 50 or 75 volunteers collect, you know, 5, 10, something like that. And when we shook it all down, we got 4,500 signatures in about 5.5 weeks.
Wow.
And then, yeah, thanks. I mean, and then what happened, the director of the supervisor of elections has to check each one. And it took about 1.5 weeks for them to check it. Now, because districts are gerrymandered, they're very close, you know, one to the other, they took out 222 for being in the wrong district. They took out 181 for people. They were registered, but they actually were not registered. And they took out another 46 because they signed twice and such and such. When it all shook down, 4,089 signatures, and we needed 4,088 to get on the ballot. That's about as great as you can get.
It is, and it almost makes me wonder if they didn't kind of do that on purpose. I don't know.
I'm not sure if they did or if it was just divine providence. But at that point, you know, people, I had some people say, listen, you've got to raise the money. Or if you don't get on, you know, we'll get you the money. But to me, Bruce, I got to tell you, to make that kind of a compromise when I was so against it, it just seemed like the wrong thing to do. Either I was going to get on the ballot with signatures or I was not going to run.
You know, I'm going to tend to. I would say let's go with the divine providence deal. I think that's a much better explanation.
Yeah, now tell me, I think it is too.
Uh huh. What kind of opposition are you facing there? Before we talk about that, what is the 10th district, and give me an idea of sort of, you know, what's there and what city and that kind of thing.
Sure. The 10th district comprises a lot of Pinellas County, which is in the western part of Florida, St. Petersburg, Seminole, Largo, Pinellas Park, Dunedin, a little bit of Palm Harbor, a little bit of Clearwater. It's the opposite. It's next to the bay, the Gulf of Mexico, all the beaches from Dunedin Beach all the way down to Tierra Verde. It's about The county itself is about 280 square miles, but the cities within District 10, it's quite a large district. Now, the way it breaks down in terms of voter registration, we have 167,000 Republicans registered. There are 152,000 Democrats. There are 101,000 independents. Now, the other interesting thing about District 10, the man that I am opposing is a 36-year Republican incumbent. He was the head of the Appropriations Committee for 5 years, between 1999 and 2005. He's well-respected, brought much money to Pinellas County, but he's been in for 36 years. And there have been years where no one even has opposed him.
That reminds me of here. There's a gentleman named Howard Coble, who is, even though it's a very liberal area that he is representing, they continue to send him back because nobody runs against him. But
has happened a couple of times. I must tell you, I'm going to go across the bridge here. I'm in the car, so I hope I don't lose you. You know, it wouldn't have mattered to me if I lived in Iowa or Kentucky or Minnesota or Colorado or California or Michigan. I was going to do something. Because our country is in such dire straits. So I just happen to live in Florida's 10th Congressional District. So he's it.
Tell me, okay, so what do you think, you're going to win. You're going to win this race. What's it going to take for that to happen? What kind of money do you need to raise? Can people send you money? How do people help?
Well, we're taking donations from individuals. We're not taking any money from corporations. What I really need is 280 people to send me $125, or I need 560 people to send me about $67, or I need about 800 people to send me $50. What we're looking at is really only about $35,000 I believe I need to win this race. Most people say you need $1 million. I say that's ridiculous and a waste of money.
How would you put it to use?
Okay, you would use about $15,000 of that and get on television, and just tell the people the truth. I've been in radio and television for about 30 years, so I have a gift, I guess, in terms of communicating, and it's not going to be the kind of ad where you're talking bad about somebody. That's so disgusting. We want to just tell the American people the truth, give them a choice of vision. Do you want to believe that we are in a global war on terror for the next 15 years, or do you want to believe that what happened in Iraq was a mistake and change the course? It's about that simple.
That is simple, and you know something. The bottom line is that the simpletons would probably like us to believe that it can't possibly be that simple. So, you know, have you talked about debating your opponent yet?
I am working on trying to get him to come out, you know, and not so much do a debate, but do a dialogue. One of the things that just breaks my heart, it's so nice to have you to talk to and your station, because it sounds like you really listen to people. But one of the things that just breaks my heart is America is hurting right now. Americans are scared, they're confused, and all they're doing is just having information pushed in their face. There's no discussion. There's no discourse. I would like to have a dialogue with Mr. Young where all different kinds of people can come and ask questions. I saw him. I went to an event at MacDill Air Force Base where he was speaking. All he talked about was the global war on terror. And I went up to him afterwards, and I says, Congressman Young, would you please have a dialogue with me? Will you have an open forum? Will you do it for democracy? He won't say yes. I said, do it for democracy. He won't say yes. So I guess we have to do pressure, you know, write him postcards, call his office. People need to know that there is a choice in this election. And so all I can do is ask and maybe try to pressure him, have the public pressure him. He has not said yes at this point.
Well, that's a shame because I'd say it's a shame for you because based on how you talk and how and the way that you're able to communicate, more than likely you would beat the pants off the guy.
Well, the most important thing, you know, it's not really about beating somebody. It's about doing what's right for the American people. You know, I mean, think about it. Ray McGovern, the CIA agent for 27 years, are you familiar with Ray?
Absolutely.
Ray McGovern is an outspoken critic of the Bush administration. He formed an organization called Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. He writes for antiwar.com, truthout.com. He's the one that was on television a couple of months ago and asked Donald Rumsfeld, why did you lie to the American people?
Yep.
That's Ray. Well, anyway, Ray came down to St. Petersburg and did a benefit for us. And, you know, he's telling the truth to the American people. There was a girl that came up, and she was crying her eyes out at the end of the day. She's 21 years old. She said, Sam, you've given me hope. She goes, I've been so scared. She goes, I don't know what to believe anymore. She goes, my friends in high school, they think it's hopeless. My friends that are my age, they don't even really know what to think. She goes, you've given me truth. You've given me hope. That's what we need to do, Bruce. We need to give hope to the American people that there is a better way. There's a better way to fight extremists. There's a better way to, you know, we can transform our energy policy. We can rebuild education. But we can't do these things unless we unite as a people, unless we admit our mistake, tell the world we were wrong. Why is that so hard?
You know, that is so refreshing to hear. I mean, you know, I had Rocky Anderson on the show earlier, and you guys, both of you, you have wonderful, wonderful spirits, and this is what you two guys are. You know, okay, let's say you guys can flip a coin who runs for president and who's vice president. It doesn't matter to me. We need you in office. And you know, it is my fervent hope and desire that this election. That you're able to unseat your opponent. Now, I guess the other thing that I wanted to say before last thing I wanted to ask is, first of all, I know I gave out your website address. Is there direct action that bloggers and people who are intimately involved in the internet is there stuff that they can do to help you?
Absolutely. They can write emails, they can blog, they can talk to some of the, whether it's Daily Cost or Democracy Now! Or some of the Huffington Post, you know, these kinds of things, antiwar.com, truthout.org, wherever they can get the word out, because this is really, our race is a microcosm of what's happening in America. We have someone who has been in Congress, a respected man, for 36 years, part of the establishment, who represents the military-industrial corporate complex. And we have me, who represents the people. And we have someone who says there's a global war on terror for the next 20 years, And there's me who says we don't have to accept that paradigm. So there's a story here. And if we can get the word out that there's a story, you see, the Democratic Congressional Caucus won't support me because I don't have $100,000 in the bank. The State Democratic Party won't support me because I don't have $100,000 in the bank. But you know what I'm saying? Spirit and hope is worth a lot more than money. And we have to take our country back. And it's always been a small group of focused people that have done that. So spread the word. Write the St. Petersburg Times, you know, sptimes.com. Tell them we want to debate. Call the contact the League of Women Voters in Pinellas County. Tell them we, not a debate, a dialogue. You know, sound the alarm. Sound the alarm.
Well, you know, Sam, is there anything else you'd like to share with us or share with our my listeners this evening?
I'll tell you what. I am so grateful to be an American in a time where it is so clear-cut that we've been lied to, we've been manipulated, and our troops are dying. You know, depleted uranium is being used. We need the truth. The truth is what's going to stop this war. The truth is what's going to set the people free. If they can spare $5, $10, send it my way. The most important thing is if you have friends or neighbors or people that live in District 10 in Florida, tell them to get out the vote. We have to vote in enormous numbers to overcome these machines. And visit the website, www.samsammsimpsonforcongress.com. Email me. I'll write you back.
And actually, I'm also noticing on your website that folks can contribute also via PayPal and
yes.
Act Blue. So,
yes, they can. And we're taking the $5 is a whole lot of money. Listen, my daughter doesn't have medical insurance. I've had to pay thousands of dollars to help her. There's a lot of people in tough boats. I'm not asking for a whole lot of money. We're asking for heart and soul and prayer and vision. And that always overcomes the big one, don't you think?
Absolutely. Beyond the shadow of a doubt. And Sam, I definitely want to get you back on the show again as we get closer to November and to find out how things are going. In any way that I can help you, please don't hesitate to let me know, okay?
I would be absolutely honored. Thank you so much for having me be able to share. And I just thank you for what you're doing. We've got to get the truth out there. The truth sets the people free.
Sam Simpson, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Okay, I'll talk to you again, Bruce. You take care.
All right, you too.
Okay, and bye-bye.
Have a great day. That's Sam Simpson. She's running for Congress in the 10th District in Florida. And, wow, she was a great interview, too. This has been a fantastic show today. I'm bowled over with activists today, with people, you know, and I don't want to say, you know, over the last 30 years, the word activist itself has been given a bad connotation. It's been given this sort of you know this vision of some you know, not that there's anything wrong with pot smoking hippies, but that's kind of like what people want you to think of when you say the word activist. Now, you know, I have no problem with that. My point is, what did I just step in it now or what? My point is, people who care about this country, people who care about this nation, such as Rocky Anderson and Sam Simpson, are the ones that we need to support. We need to support them financially. We need to support them with our labor. We need to support them with our blogging, our emailing, whatever we can do to try to boost them and push them forward. Because that's where progressive change happens. It doesn't happen at the level of John Kerry or even, I dare say, Howard Dean. It happens in our hometowns. It happens in our cities. It happens in our districts. It happens at a level where you and I can shake hands, break bread together, touch time, and feel reality. That's where it happens. So I would challenge you, if you have an extra buck or two to spare, send it to Sam Simpson for Congress. Go to sammsimpsonforcongress.com, and you'll see a link there to be able to contribute. And you can do PayPal. You can do Act Blue, either one. You can also mail a check. The treasurer email address is right there. So I'm sure that they will help you in contributing to this campaign. She, instead of paying the filing fee, she went out and got the signatures. They went out and did the old style, hard-working way of democracy in the United States by getting the signatures to get on the ballot. Man, that's just fantastic. Wonderful, wonderful interview. And Sam Simpson, I you know, certainly wish you all the best of luck in your in this election. You know, I'm kind of floored at this point this evening, and primarily because I'm one of those people that goes out and does the hard work that needs to be done. I'm going to steal that back from the stupid guy, George W. I'm going to steal that back from the stupid guy. He wouldn't know hard work if it bit him on the ass, but I do. I know hard work. All right? And the hard work that I know is going out and shaking hands, is walking your neighborhoods, is encouraging people to speak their mind, because indeed dissent is the most American thing that we have. It ain't it's not going out and killing people, folks. It's speaking out against abuses of government when we see it. As Rocky Anderson said earlier today, and in the speech, if you want to go listen to it or watch it, you can go to my blog at brucebirch.com, and there's a link right there to the entire video of that speech. But as he said in his speech, and he quoted Teddy Roosevelt, and he said, "Indeed, a nation that squashes dissent has completely lost what democracy is all about." People like Sam Simpson and Rocky Anderson and Jim and Sarge, who called into the show today, and all of you folks who participate in the Head On Radio Network, you are democracy. You are the living embodiment of democracy, and God bless you for it. Thank you. Because the more involvement and the more that you do and the more that you go out and help change this nation is, you know, it's that much more of an impact. It pushes these scoundrels back another inch as they try to push for torture. Legalized torture is what they're trying to push for. I dare say it's time for us to re-adhere to our Constitution. It's time for us to move back and step back into what democracy really is. And don't forget, before I get off the show tonight, don't forget, Camp Democracy in Washington, D.C. is still going on, folks. This weekend's going to be a big weekend there. Check it out, campdemocracy.org. You know, as my good friend Bob Kincaid says, this is what democracy feels like. Thank you for joining me today. It's been a riot, and it's been great fun. Zach Rebich produced the radio program today. Fantastic job, my good friend Zach. John Fox is the chief engineer and also creator of the Rocky Anderson and Black Crowes deal. So send him an email, don@fourthestateradio.com. Tell him you like it. John is also the announcer on this radio show. Thank you, John, for all you do. I'd like to also thank Gene from Oregon for being our head-on headlines news ninja. Hi-ya! And Gene, thanks for the call today, by the way. Also want to thank Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services of Tallahassee, Florida, for being the IT professional of the Head-On Radio Network. Wonderful, wonderful man. He's experienced a loss today in his family, so send some good thoughts his way. Also want to thank our good friend Ben Birch over at White Rose Society for managing the stream and the archives of this show and every show on the Head On Radio Network. I also would like to thank Shelby LePre at radiopower.org for carrying this show simulcast live. Thank you very much, Shelby, for all that you do. I also would like to thank the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights for all those guys do. They're building the American dream, and they're sponsoring the programming here, and they rock. They rock. And last but not least, thank you, listeners. Oh, almost. Thanks, mods over in the chat room. You guys rock also. But last but not least, thank you, listeners, for joining me today for another excursion down Democracy Road here on the Bruce Birch radio program. Remember, it's your democracy, too, and it's not a spectator sport. I'll see you on Monday. This is Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Thailand's Prime Minister canceled today's scheduled talk before the United Nations General Assembly in New York. That announcement comes hours after the country's military leaders informed the king that they're taking over the country. The prime minister has declared a state of emergency, but says his government is still in control. Meanwhile, tanks and troops are patrolling the streets of Bangkok. At the UN headquarters in New York this morning, President Bush addressed the assembly and called on world leaders to do more to spread democracy. Mr. Bush also said Iran must abandon its nuclear weapons ambitions. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is scheduled to speak at the assembly later today. Iranian Americans are protesting his presence outside the UN headquarters. The head of the U.S. Central Command says the U.S. military will maintain and possibly increase the 140,000 troops in Iraq through next spring. He said troop levels can't be lowered because of the rising sectarian violence and the Iraqi government's slow progress. In Iraq today, 18 people were killed and 11 wounded in two bombings in the northern city of Mosul. A car bomb went off, and as people gathered, a suicide bomber struck the crowd. In Baghdad today, the chief judge in Saddam Hussein's genocide trial was removed and replaced by his deputy. That follows a comment the chief judge made last week that Saddam was not a dictator. In Iraq, U.S. soldiers say Shiite militias are encouraging children as young as 6 or 7 to throw rocks and gasoline bombs to get them to shoot back. The soldiers say that's at the behest of Shiite militias, but a radical anti-American cleric denies his followers are behind the attacks. In Jerusalem, Israel's top military commander says the remaining troops in Lebanon will be withdrawn by this weekend. Security duties will be taken over by the Lebanese army and UN peacekeepers. In Washington, a new study shows that U.S. prisons are fertile ground for jailed Islamic extremists. It found that many prisons lack the resources to track extremist behavior.